Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing? Glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at wliw.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platform. Each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com and distributed on my podcast on Audio Boom and iTunes. The Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black is well behind us, and I could talk endlessly about the international spectacle here on Long Island, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I prefer to focus on the incredible play of the European team the first 2 days, Friday and Saturday, in the foursomes and four-ball formats, the fact that Europe took an 11.5 to 4.5 lead, a 7-point lead, into Sunday's single session, and the Americans nearly pulled off an incredible, miraculous comeback, winning 8.5 points of the 12 possible points in that Sunday single session, which tied the record for the most points won by a single team in a Sunday single session. The Europeans won 15-13, but wow, did the Americans make it close. Well, on that Saturday afternoon of the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black, I had the good fortune to meet and interview Patrick O'Donovan, the Irish Minister of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sports, and Media. He and his team came to Bethpage on a reconnaissance tour, a fact-finding mission, to observe, to gather information, to study any helpful information for their preparation for the next Ryder Cup, which will be in 2027 at beautiful Adair Manor, located in County Limerick in Southwest Ireland. I thought it was a fascinating conversation, so you will hear that interview in this hour. I will also play a short on-air segment I did as a guest, reporting from Bethpage Black during Sunday's single session of the Ryder Cup on BBC News. It's a fun memory, as the Americans were in the heat of a most exciting comeback on that Sunday. Europe won, as you know, but boy, did the Americans make it exciting. And Bill Byrne, Senior VP Global Sales for Aer Lingus, he educates us on travel to and from the Emerald Isle and how tourism, particularly golf tourism, impacts the country. Hope you enjoy this edition of Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Bill Byrne, Senior VP for Aer Lingus. Bill, welcome to Sports Interview.
Well, thanks for having me, Ann. It's a pleasure, and for somebody that's covered the sport for a very long time, I'm very happy to be joining you.
Well, this has been a most busy year for travel to and from Ireland, especially from a golf perspective. I mean, you have the Irish Open coming up at the K Club. You have the Women's Irish Open. You had that at the Carton House. And of course, the Open Championship at Royal Portrush this past July. Wow. I mean, so much happening in golf in Ireland. Can you talk about the increase in tourism and the volume of business that Aer Lingus must be encountering?
Yeah, I think relative to golf, it certainly doesn't hurt to have a marquee event like the Open on the island of Ireland. And this is the second time in the last 5 or 6 years that it's been there. But golf's been very much part of the fabric of Ireland for a very long time. Hundreds of years, goes back to the beginnings of golf. Because of golf and because of a whole lot of things, Ireland has grown in tourism. And I think more and more people are thinking about Ireland as a golf destination, and Golf Ireland and Tourism Ireland have done a lot to promote it. When you think about golf, everybody has some list of what the top 100 courses or 50 courses, you name it, right? And half are always in the U.S., and people are very familiar with those. But a quarter of those are between Scotland, England, and Ireland, and about equally divided amongst all three. So Ireland would have a full 8 to 10 courses that are amongst the tops in the world. And then with that comes hundreds of other courses that are really very good and awesome to play, anywhere from the coast to inland, around the country. And so the draw now to Ireland is no matter what part of the island you go to, there could be 20 courses you would be interested in playing. So if even if you came over for a business meeting and wanted to extend a couple of days, you could get 2 or 3 days of golf in at some of the top courses in the world. You could go for a week. And I'll be honest with you, you could go there for a month and get lost in playing courses around the island. I mean, it wouldn't be hard to do and hit bucket list courses every day within that month. So I think travel to Ireland's never been bigger. Some of it's, most of it is due to our growth. So we fly 21 direct routes, 19 to Dublin, 2 to Shannon, both in the heart of golf country. So, and then significant investment between the US and Ireland, whether it's pharmaceuticals or tech. You know, a lot of your readers would be in a whole variety of industries that, you know, they would have counterparts or branches or even head offices in Ireland. And so the coming to Ireland, whether it's for business or pleasure or a week stay or 3 days stay or longer, golf could play a role in all of that.
And Aer Lingus can get you very close regionally to, a lot of these links courses, parkland courses. Talk about what American golfers should know about Aer Lingus and the airports and the flights.
So I think we make it very easy for both a golfer and even a tourist in general to get to Ireland. So like I said, we fly from 21 different cities in the, well, 19 different cities in the US, 21 different routes. All nonstop service, state-of-the-art aircraft. If they're a high-end leisure traveler or a high-end business traveler, we have the same kind of conveniences that any other airline would have, fully flat business class seats, state-of-the-art cuisine, great lounges, and then the best flight attendants in the industry by far, and as you well know. On arrival, Dublin Airport is very fast and convenient. You can get in and out of it very quickly. So from the gate through immigration and out to the curb, it can be as little as 15 minutes. It's honestly that quick. Departing from Ireland, especially from Dublin, but also from Shannon, you clear U.S. immigration in Ireland. So you arrive in your destination in the U.S. as a domestic passenger. So again, you're from the gate to the curb within 15 minutes, like you would on any other flight in the U.S. So it's really kind of amazing the service that we have for that.
I love that aspect. When you clear immigration in Dublin, then when you come to JFK, you just go right through. I
Oh,
love
absolutely. I
that.
mean, you just walk right out. And if you're thinking about JFK, we're right now in Terminal 7, walking out from the gate to the terminal, to the curb, to, well, to the Uber lot is less than 15 minutes at JFK. And in places like Indianapolis, it can be as little as 10 minutes to leave to get out.
Unbelievable. And people don't
Yeah.
realize how close it really is to fly from, say, JFK to Shannon, even Dublin. It's actually faster, in my opinion, to get over there than it is to go from JFK to LA, right?
Oh, so off the East Coast, you can get there in 5.5 hours. It's a shorter trip than it is going to the West Coast. Now, the West Coast, it's a little bit longer. From the Midwest, like Chicago or Minneapolis or Indianapolis, Nashville, it's 7 hours. So you hop on board, you have a quick meal, you take a nap, and you wake up, and you're in Ireland.
And
It's
that
pretty easy
first
to do.
class business class is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, it's the fully flat Thompson seat, which is the state of the art in the industry. It's fully flat, very comfortable. 6 foot, a 6 foot six person would have no trouble sleeping in it. I'm a little shorter than that, so it's easier for me. And if you fly like me, I go to sleep at takeoff and don't wake up until they tell me I gotta wake up.
Very
So
smart.
when I arrive in Ireland, I am not the least bit jet lagged.
You are a seasoned traveler for sure, but if you want to do stay up for the meals though, don't you?
Oh, so the meals are fantastic. I mean, it's, you know, Ireland is pioneer. Well, Ireland years ago pioneered farm-to-table cuisine because the one thing great about Ireland, they have concentrations of big cities, but very close to farms. So farm-to-table, great meat, fish, vegetables, all that is very fresh and cooked really well, and a high European standard. We bring that on board, where the meal service is just excellent.
Yeah, the meals were great. And that's why I know how important it is to try to sleep when you're going from, JFK over. But I always stay up for the dinner. And then
Well,
I want to watch the movies too.
yeah, I mean, the experience is great. So, I mean, there's a way to experience so that everyone would like it.
So talk about your experience, Bill, going to the Open Championship at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland.
So it's one of the greatest courses in Ireland for sure. It would be on most people's bucket list. But it really is a typical Irish course, where it's on the coastline, Linx style, with beautiful vistas and cliffs and views of the beach and the ocean. And then, as you could look out over the sea and see Scotland. It's just an incredible view. And there are courses like that all around the island with these incredible views, whether you're thinking about, Old Head down in Cork, or Wardaville in Kerry, and Rosspennan in Donegal, Baltrae and Louth coming down from Northern Ireland,
Right.
Royal County down in Belfast City. So, I mean, it's just, all those courses have these incredible views of beach and sand.
Everybody always asks me what my favorite course is, and I say Ireland because it's so hard to just when you think you've played the most incredible golf course, whether it's Royal County Down or Royal Portrush or Carn or Enniscrone, or as you said, you go down to the southwest and you have Old Head and gosh, Waterville. You just when you play these great courses, then you'll go like 20 minutes down the road, and there's another great links courses. I mean, it's just there's the abundance of golf, of really good golf in
Yeah,
Ireland
not,
just blows me
yeah.
away.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and you can, and you've played them, so So if you were out in the West and you played Rosspennan, not far from there is Carn and Enniscrone, where a tee shot is driving into a narrow fairway between these huge sand dunes covered in gorse, which is both challenging and terrifying. In Dublin, you could be lucky enough to play Portmarnock and then want to go out to the island. The island has a fairway where you drive into it that's 8 meters wide.
I love the
I mean,
Island Club.
so no room for error. I mean, I was so terrified that I got it through very easily, but I got it through easily because I hit it short. So I flubbed the tee shot, was short, like almost at that narrow part of the fairway, and then, just from a launching point, it was easy enough to get there. I mean, those are the kinds of courses that are Ireland's famous for. You could have some course on your bucket list, and there will be five other courses that you should play, or would want to play, or would be delighted that you played, just after going and playing at that bucket list course.
You
And that
must have a
includes
dream
Dublin.
job, Bill, being a golfer and doing what you do with Aer Lingus.
Well, it's advantageous because you can get away and play. The problem is, I haven't been lost for 30 days to play every course that I've wanted to play in Ireland. I mean, I have a list. I've gotten pretty far, but certainly nowhere near nowhere near the kind of courses I want to play. You know,
Right.
another links course that's right in Dublin, and I'm sure you've played it, is Royal Dublin, which is a
Beautiful.
links style course right on the ocean, but with a view of the city. And so you wouldn't get that in a lot of places where you're right on top of the city playing a links style course. Not out in the country, really, as metropolitan as you can get, but it's on a peninsula or an island that's actually sticking out in the ocean. And
Right. I mean,
Dublin does.
if you go to Ireland as a tourist or for business, because I mean, if you go to Dublin, I mean, and talk a little bit about Dublin and how just in the last, gosh, 15, 20 years, the city has expanded in industry. But there's so many courses right around Dublin. You don't have to leave that area.
No, there. You could within a drive. If you're in Dublin, within a drive, you could play 10 courses at least that you'd want to play. As far south as Druids Glen, which is in Wicklow, but it's only an hour's drive from Dublin, or as far north as Baltrae, which is in County Louth, Dundalk. That's an hour's drive. But then in Dublin, you have Portmarnock, which is rumored to be getting the Open very soon. Malahide, Royal Dublin, as I said, the
Island
island.
Club,
I mean, you can go on, and
County
then
Louth.
a short drive to Kildare to play the Cake Club or Carton House, which are sites for the Irish Open. I
And
mean, just an
the
incredible amount. And then,
European club is coming.
Mount Juliet's probably 45 minutes into Kilkenny. So, I mean, that's just in Dublin. So in Dublin, there'd be at least 20 courses. So if you went there on business twice a year and you could carve out a day or two, you could play a different course every time.
And it just seems like Ireland has experienced just an economic boost. What, and say the what, past 10, 15 years, would you say?
I think Ireland has been on an economic rocket ship since really the 90s, so 25 years plus.
Okay.
So substantial investment, education in its people, spurred investment from multinationals, tech companies like Microsoft, Google, Amazon, pharmaceutical companies like Merck, Johnson and Johnson, and Lilly. Have invested a lot into Ireland, and then the ancillary businesses that grow up around it. So whether it's finance or building materials or food staples or nutrition technology, all that is in Ireland. So you have an educated workforce that's on the move. So the GDP grows at a faster rate than most countries. It's populated in a 6 million is the population, which it hasn't grown in population as much as the economic growth would be. But with all that economic growth, you get restaurants and hotels, but no substitute for the pub life as well in Ireland. So there's nothing, after a round of golf, sitting in an Irish pub, there'd be two or three by any golf course that you choose. You can have a meal or a couple of pints, and then not be far from a first-class restaurant in any part of the country. So
I
that
mean that,
economic growth brings all that with it.
right, that the hospitality there really is second to none. But why do you think Ireland has experienced such a growth in the past, say, 25 years?
I think it's probably two things or three things. So first, the investment in people. I mean, they're a country that invests in people, whether it's education, investing in the infrastructure, roads, and all that. Then the second thing is just the passion and desire of the Irish people to engage with the world. Engage with the world not only in commerce, but engage with the world in terms of hospitality and friendship. Americans have been going to Ireland for by air for over 65 years when we first started flights. The Irish have been very engaged with Ireland. With the Americans, they've had a love affair with America for 100 years, not just because of immigration. My parents immigrated to the U.S. from Ireland, but this because of this common bond. It's like their sister country. So every American that goes there is going to get a warm welcome. Most Americans that go there have some Irish in their background. They either know somebody or there's some history in their family. And the Irish like to engage in that. So there's this kind of interpersonal bond that's there. And I think that spurs the economic growth, where you have interest and passion, you have economic growth, and you have all the things that go with it.
And we have the Ryder Cup heading to Adair Manor in
Oh, yeah.
2027. That's going to be huge.
So, and we didn't even talk about that. So the K Club hosted the Ryder Cup, and now the next Ryder Cup will be at Adair. Well, the next Ryder Cup's at Bethpage, but then after Bethpage, it'll be at Adair Manor. JP McManus, the owner of that club, has made significant investments in that property, whether it's hotels, restaurants. They're putting in the infrastructure now. They're ready for it. They've done a lot of research. I first met McManus at the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. He'll be at Bethpage. He's doing his research. His team is doing the research. They're very serious about building a world-class golf destination. They certainly have it now. And that part of Ireland is just a beautiful part of Ireland. And I think anybody that's wants to go to a Ryder Cup can do that. And if they want to play golf in and around it, there's plenty of courses to play.
And how soon, Bill, can people book flights for the Ryder Cup in 2027? Because I know it, everybody's very eager for this one, particularly the Irish, obviously, but the American, they love Ireland and want to make sure that they're part of it.
Well, ironically, a tour operator would probably take bookings now. But if you wanted to book air on your own, airlines set their schedules a year in advance, and it's 11 months roughly when they can book. So September 20, I can do my math right. September 27, they'd be booking late October 26 for them.
All right, so that's good to know. So next year they'll be they'll
And
put
then
it in their
flights from that,
calendars.
and yeah, and flights from that would be either be into Shannon, which is a very short drive, but you could also fly to Dublin, drive to Shannon in no time. It's a state-of-the-art motor route, and you can get there in less than 90 minutes.
I know Adair is a little village, very charming village with cottages with thatched roofs and gorgeous church across from Adair Manor. And, as you mentioned, the golf course, they call it the Augusta National of Ireland. It's just in impeccable shape. But what's happening now to be able to handle the influx of all the people who will be going over there for the 2027 Ryder Cup? Do you know anything about how they're
Yeah,
going to
so there,
deal with all the
yes,
people?
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be an expert, but the resort is building out housing capability. The cities and towns around that are also building hotels, so there'll be hotels. We fully anticipate guests staying as far away as Dublin and taking either a train or driving in, but they can also stay in Cork or in Tralee, in Clare proper, like in Ennis near Shannon Airport, as far north as Galway Town, and then into Tipperary. There'll be a variety of accommodations, so not just hotels. I'm sure there'll be, like, for the Ryder Cup at Bethpage, everybody's put their house up for rent through Airbnb. You'll see the same thing in Ireland, I'm sure. And so there'll be a variety of homes that they'll be able to choose from, whether it's a small thatched roof cottage that they could stay in while they're at the matches, or to anything from a nice country estate. So I think housing is not going to be the issue. The issue always at a Ryder Cup is parking, which is plenty at Adair, like it will be for Bethpage, but it's access in and out and how you do it. And you were at Port Rush. The busing system they had there was, I thought, incredible. I was never in a traffic jam. I stayed in Belfast City. It took us just over an hour to get up there. Yeah, a little over an hour to get back. Rode in a very nice bus. I thought that was fine, but I had friends that drove and parked right on the grounds. So there's a variety of ways to get there, and they'll make it easy, and it'll be convenient.
All right,
So
so
I
you.
think they could stay anywhere. I mean, if you're thinking about it and you say, well, I'd rather stay in Dublin and come in, be a little longer, but you could certainly do that.
Right. They'll have it organized by then for sure. So, last two questions here, Bill. So, you play as much golf as you can. Your schedule's crazy with Aer Lingus, I can imagine. But if you probably have met some of the most fascinating people. So, tell me about a. Maybe an interesting foursome that you've played with that just sticks out in your memory.
So the most interesting thing. So I told you about my casual meeting with JP McManus. I had no idea who he was. So he's a billionaire and one of the richest men in Ireland. And I just sat down at a table and I was drinking coffee and we were talking about something in Irish GAA. It's called. It's Irish hurling. And we're talking about hurling. And he had a hurling team and I was talking about my hurling team. And then somebody says to him, "JP, we got to get going." And I look at him. I go, "You're JP McManus?" He goes, "Yeah." And I go, "Well, I don't meet too many billionaires where I just have a coffee with and you get up, ah, got on." And then he leaves. So that was one interesting thing. I think the best thing I find out about golf is not necessarily meeting famous people at golf courses because you run into them. It's really the kind of casual interactions you have with people that you may never see again. And that you have an interesting conversation with. They're either ahead of you in the foursome ahead of you or foursome behind you. And it could be anywhere that I've played around the world. I met two guys once from Texas when I was playing in Portugal, and they had flown over and they were driving around Portugal and Spain looking for golf courses to play in. They were in the oil industry, like a lot of people are in Texas. And we talked for about 20 minutes. And it was just that connection with people that you wouldn't normally meet and will never meet again. And you could have a conversation, and it's the golf that brings you together and
Sure.
the love of being outside and enjoying the fresh air. I think that's what's the most extraordinary thing about golf is that you can go to any other kind of sport. And if you're in the crowd, you really can't engage. You know what team they're playing with. They still have a uniform on or a hat on or something like that. But golf, you can actually talk to people about their kids and their where they live and what their parents are doing and what golf courses they've played and what they've had to drink and eat while they were there. It's this interaction you have with people that you really can't have anywhere else. It really does make golf probably, in a way, one of the more intimate activities and traveling kind of events or traveling experiences that you could have. And you're not going to have that anywhere else.
That's
Really,
right.
I find that extraordinary.
The bonding experience in golf with total strangers
Yeah.
or with anybody is just extraordinary. And when we did all those TV shows to promote Irish Links, some of my most memorable interviews were with the captains of the clubs and the secretaries and the caddies. And they are so passionate, these captains, and they
Yeah.
will spend 24/7 at the club when they're, during their reign as captain. They're just all in. It's a 24/7 job and they just love it. And I always try to meet the captains, the ladies captains, the men's captains when I go to these courses in Ireland because they're fascinating people and they're just so passionate about golf.
And if you could run into a captain before you go on your round, that captain will give you 10 minutes on how to play that course that is as good or better than even a caddy you might hire. Yeah, because they played it so much and they really know the ins and outs. And you'll enjoy it a lot more. Now, that's not always possible. Sometimes it's just a chance encounter. But I mean, the people that work at these courses love golf. They love the terrain. They can tell you what it's done and what it doesn't do. And it's so funny because they'll tell you two things they hate about it, and they'll tell you five things they love about it. And then, as somebody who's just visiting, I see the two things they hate about it, and I'm like, I don't know why that's that bad. I think the people that work at Irish golf courses are some of the finest people you'll ever meet.
It is. Golf is a great connector. Aer Lingus connects Americans to Ireland, to golf in Ireland, and to the just an incredible rich culture of the Emerald Isle. Bill Byrne, thank you so much for joining me, Senior VP of Aer Lingus. Continued success on and off the course.
Thanks, Anne. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Thanks so much.
But the Americans have been fighting back in thrilling singles. Let's speak to Anne Liguori, host of Talking Golf on WFAN New York, who has been following the event from Bethpage Black Course in New York. And we really appreciate you talking to us. While the action is so thrilling, just update us on where things are. How close is this?
Well, it's 13 and a half Europe to 8.5 in the United States. So Europe is looking for a half point to retain the cup. And the Americans have really poured it on in these singles matches, but I'm afraid it might be a little too much too late here, as Europe has shown such dominance in the first four sessions on Friday and Saturday. But what a thrilling singles day. It has been really, really exciting.
Now, you have covered every Ryder Cup since 1999. How do you rate this one? I mean, we've been hearing all about some of the drama within the crowd and the sort of things that have been going on. This is fascinating in so many ways.
It is fascinating. First of all, you're in the Big Apple. Bethpage Black is a public golf course. The fans here are very vocal. And yes, like all Ryder Cups, you get some that are just get totally carried away, and that is unacceptable. And unfortunately, it gives New York a bad name. But it's just really exciting. The European team has played as formidable as I've ever seen them play, dating back to 1999 at Brookline. What a cohesive team! What a just an incredibly focused team. Their mission back in 2023 at Marco Simone, Rory McIlroy said it. He wanted to come to Bethpage Black and beat the Americans. And boy, they are just playing exceptional. And the European captain, Luke Donald, has been just such a leader.
Now, Saturday obviously made headlines for some really vocal moments from certain people in the crowd, some back and forth between players in the crowd, even some abuse shouted at Rory McIlroy. Today, though, has been a lot quieter, has it, Anne?
Well, security has just tried to remove all the so-called crazies out there who really have gone over the top. Normally, you know, golf fans are very knowledgeable, very respectful, but as in any sporting event, you have, you know, few that spoil the party. So they, you know, many went over the top. But today it seems like everybody's focused on watching these players, the greatest players in the world, do their thing. And they've been trying to, I'm sure if there's been heckling, they've removed the people. So it's all about the golf, and the golf has been simply spectacular today.
It is really all about the golf. I mean, looking at our live page, which we've got up and running on the BBC News website and app, a quarter of a million people looking at that at the moment. It's astonishing the amount of interest. And this is a competition that isn't all about the money, is it?
No, it's not about the money, although they've made it a little bit about the money with the American team, because the PGA is paying the American players. $300,000 goes to each player's charity, and then an additional $200,000 goes to each American player to do with what they'd like. And most of the American players have said they're going to donate all of it to charity. But it has become a topic, so much so that European captain Luke Donald, in his opening ceremony remarks, said that the European team is fueled by something money can't buy. So it was a bit of a jab, I think, not so subtle, to the fact that the American players are receiving money and the Europeans don't want to. They would play, as Rory McIlroy has said, they would pay to play in this Ryder Cup.
And we are going to let you get back to the action in case you missed something. So we don't want you to take your eyes off the course for too long. Anne Liguori, thank you so much. Host of Talking Golf on WFAN New York. We really appreciate you talking to us.
My pleasure.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and it is my pleasure to say hello to Patrick O'Donovan, Ireland TD Minister for Culture, Communication and Sport. Welcome to the Big Apple.
Thanks very much, and it's great to be here.
Bethpage Black, the Ryder Cup. How is it treating you, and what have your experiences been like?
Well, look, first of all, the hospitality here is amazing, and it's an absolutely beautiful course. The place looks magnificent. And the history of the course here is actually something quite remarkable as well. The fact that it's, you know, a municipal course, and that it's very democratic course. So look, it's impeccably well turned out. The facilities here are amazing. The scale of it is enormous. But it has really been fantastic to see it, considering that the next one is going to be in Limerick, where I'm from myself.
Have you walked around? It is an enormous golf course. Very challenging walk, I might add.
It is, yeah. Well, the parts of the country that I come from in Ireland, we're not immune from hilly countryside. So, it's actually very like Irish kind of topography, up and down, quite undulated. But it's a lovely course, and it's very mature, and it's obviously very looked after as well. The greenkeepers have done a great job here.
What have your observations been while you're here? I know Adair Manor will be hosting the 2027 Ryder Cup. That's very exciting. Have you observed anything here that perhaps you would carry over to Ireland?
I think it's the scale, really, is the size of it. I don't think that anybody really grasps the whole size of the Ryder Cup by just watching it on TV. The scale of the layout here is absolutely enormous. And you know, the numbers of people that are here is obviously huge as well, but the scale of the infrastructure that's built, including where we're sitting at the moment, which is all temporary infrastructure, which will be dismantled after the tournament, those are obviously something, look, that I think people haven't really yet grasped in terms of the scale of what's coming to Ireland. But look, it'll be amazing when it comes.
I've been to Adair Manor many times. I've done TV shows there, radio shows there. It is an extraordinary property, and it's a very special place, very different than what we have here at Bethpage Black.
It is, and it's very historic as well, and we're very fortunate that the owners, the McManus family, have were the first really to be the applicant for the Ryder Cup in 2027, and the Irish government is a big supporter of it. My own department is supporting it to try and make sure that we obviously have the place spick and span for 2027. So really after tomorrow evening, it's over to us, literally over to us. We have 2 years then to finish the preparations, but look, we've an awful lot of work already done, and I think people from the United States and North America, when they come to Limerick, will be blown away by Adair and by the offering in County Limerick.
How would you describe Adair Manor to the American audience? It is, for those who have been there, it's a very special place. It's a castle. It's a manor, and the property is impeccable. I mean, they are calling it the Augusta National of Ireland because the golf course is just flawless.
Well, the house itself is a 19th century Victorian manor house. It was built by the Dunraven family, who were the landlords in the area, but the very benevolent landlords and very good to the people locally. And the village grew up around the manor. So for people that would be familiar with it, it is a street which lined with thatched cottages. But as well as that, there are four historic abbeys in Adair dating back to the 11th century. So literally 1,000 years of continuous history in the area of Adair, that when people come, you know, I think the oldest is 1042. That's not a time, that's a year. So it is a beautiful little village, and it's surrounded by very lush green countryside, and the people there are really looking forward to welcoming as many North American visitors as possible. It is a place that attracts tens of thousands of American visitors every year, as it is. Adair is very much on the bucket list of an awful lot of people from the United States when they come to Ireland. 10% of the population of America claim Irish heritage. That's about 40 million people. So there's a lot of people that we're hoping will look at Ireland through a different lens now, that if they don't have a connection, but they're fascinated by and engrossed in golf, like the people that you can hear around me here today, they're going to be really welcome in Limerick.
I know it's in the southwest region of Ireland. Can you talk about how North Americans can access that area?
Well, when you talk about the southwest now, that's not like Arizona, just to put it in context. Everywhere in Ireland is only about 2 hours away from each other. It took me 2 hours to go from New York to my hotel last night. So just to put it in, Ireland is a very small country, but it's in the southwest. The nearest airports are Shannon and Cork, and then we've the international airports, and Dublin, of course, as well. People will be familiar with that. So there's nowhere too far away in Ireland. I mean, for people that are going to be staying there, there's a massive variety of accommodation in terms of hotels and guest houses and Airbnbs and everything else on the island of Ireland. And as I say, like, there's nowhere too far away. People are travelling here 3 and 4 hours back into Manhattan. 3 or 4 hours in from Adair by road, you could nearly be in London. So that'll tell you the size of it. It's a very small country, but it's a country, obviously, that we're all hugely proud of.
And Minister, what is being done regarding the infrastructure as far as getting people in and out of that area? It's a small town, Adair.
So look, the government is in charge of that, and that's my responsibility. So we're building a new road, and there's a new railway line being built. There's a lot of investment being put into park and ride. People that will arrive in Adair will go to the golf course by bus. They'll be brought from designated park and ride centres to the golf course. There'll be no cars allowed onto the course. And pedestrians only from the village. So a lot of that work is underway already with our police force, who are here with me today. They're called on Garda Síochána. They're here today as well. They're liaising with the state troopers, the local municipal police, and the NYC PD, to really, I suppose, to get an indication of the scale of the operation here. And as well as that, we've had our local authority, our council is here, looking at the transportation links that people are experiencing here, and to make sure as well that there's coordination, so that we won't have a situation where, for instance, we'll have roadworks or anything of that nature during the event, because we'll be over the 3 or 4 days, we will be ferrying in and out about 250,000 people, which is quite a substantial amount of people in and out. But we're well capable of doing this. We've a big history of major events in rural Ireland over the last number of years, and they work seamlessly.
I'm sure the grand scale of this area and how they're getting people in and out at Bethpage Black, as you say, it's just so huge. you've learned a lot here that you really can apply to Adair?
Yeah, look, the hotel owners are here, the McManus family are here, and the local authority are here, the government is here, and the representatives of the state agencies. We have been working for the last number of years under the auspices of my department, led by Ireland's ambassador to the United Kingdom, Martin Fraser, preparing for the public infrastructure that's needed around Adair. The McManus family are looking after everything inside the gate itself. The place is absolutely amazing. And, you know, it is, as I say, a Victorian manor house, a huge history in it. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful setting. And they have it really impeccably well prepared for what will be, I presume, one of the biggest global sporting events in 2027.
The European team is doing very well here at Bethpage Black. When I left after this morning's foursome to come to this hospitality area, Europe led 8.5 to 3.5, and Ireland's own Rory McIlroy has been stellar so far. Friday on foursome, in foursome play, he and Tommy Fleetwood won 5 and 4. Friday afternoon in four ball session, Rory and Shane Lowry from the Republic of Ireland tied their match. And Saturday morning, Rory and Tommy Fleetwood won 3 and 2. I don't think it gets much better for the Irish and the Northern Ireland man.
Yeah, look, we're very fortunate from the island of Ireland that we have great golfers, and golf is an all-island sport in Ireland. You know, Golf Ireland are the governing authority of it, so we're immensely proud of the two lads that have made it onto the team. Rory's had a brilliant year, you know, in terms of winning a clean sweep. So hopefully we'll cap it off. It's a bit early yet, though. Sundays can normally change, and the individual games can swing back in favour of the underdog coming in from Saturday. But look, Europe is in a very strong position at the moment. We just have to see now how tomorrow plays out. But Rory and Shane are doing great for Ireland, and we're immensely proud of them.
What would it mean to Ireland for the European team to come here on away soil and take home a Ryder Cup?
Well, golf is a huge industry in Ireland and across Europe, and from Scandinavia right down to the Iberian Peninsula. You know, the diversity of the European team is pretty big. It's only really since the 1970s that Europe is present in the Ryder Cup. Before that, it was Britain and Ireland. And of course, I suppose really the reality has been getting beaten so many times by the United States on to level the playing field. So it's population-wise, United States and European continent now would be about level. So look, it's hopefully that they can get over the line, because they'll be going into Adair as the holders. And obviously, look, it's for the holders, it's a great opportunity to try and recapture it. But we would be delighted to have a European win heading into Adair 2027.
I've been so impressed with Luke Donald, the European captain. He's such a great communicator. He's proven to be such an effective leader. They won the European team. He led the European team to victory at Marco Simone outside of Rome in 2023. And he doesn't make mistakes, it seems. He's such a great leader for this team.
Yeah, in fairness, there's a lot of background, you know, team as well. You know, the tour in Europe over the last while since I've been minister, I've been very fortunate to have a lot of dealings with them in the preparation for Adair. It's a very professional, very well organised group of people who are very set with regards to what it is that they want as an outcome, both in terms of the achievements here in the United States and their preparedness for Adair. And as you say, Rome was a huge success, both in terms of Europe, but as well as that in terms of the local hosts, and we want to try and emulate that. And obviously, if we can come away here from New York with a win, that makes it even better.
And the team cohesiveness of the European team, the unity, they were here over a week ago. They played here, they did a lot of practice rounds here at Bethpage Black before they went to the Hamptons and played some of the great courses on the east end of Long Island, where I reside, Sabonic, Shinnecock, where the U.S. Open will be in 2026. Friars had, and they seem to have fun together. It's really interesting to see, because I think there are a lot of differences between the European team and the American team. I'm not saying the Americans don't have fun together, but it's on a totally different scale with the European team, it seems.
Well, these guys are always with each other. Like, they're with each other every week, they're on the tour every week, so they build up a friendship, and they build up a relationship, and they build up a camaraderie And I know from the Irish point of view anyway, you know, we're the nicest people in the world. So who's not going to like us? Sure, everybody wants to be Irish. Sure, we're the best little country in the world. I'm joking. But like, I suppose the fact that they're together so much on the tour, on the European tour, they build up a relationship and it makes it very then easy to have a cohesive group of people that'll go out and pull together because they know each other so well. And that really helps.
And the passion for the Ryder Cup, this competition from the European perspective, is off the charts.
It's the only sport, it and the women's equivalent, is the only sport that is played under the European flag. So every other sport we all play under our own national flags. So this is the only one, you know, golf is the only one that is played under European flag. The European Commissioner for Sport was here today with me. And look, it's really important because the European Union has been a massively successful project for Ireland and for other European countries. I know Britain has left it, but it has been singularly the best thing that has happened to Europe since the end of the Second World War is the creation of the European Union. And to see a sport like golf being paraded through the United States under a European flag make it very proud.
Absolutely. What a global just way to unify Europe, as you say, through sport, like nothing else.
Sport is a great leveler and it's a great unifier. And actually, as Minister for Sport, we have in the Irish government a sports policy and sports diplomacy framework where we work with our Department of Foreign Affairs and use sport to break ice and to break bread with people that we might not necessarily agree with all the time and that we might not necessarily see eye to eye with. But sport is an opportunity where whether it's sitting down watching Europe take the lead or, you know, whether it's watching an American comeback is an opportunity for people to take some of the pressure out of the conversation, relax, watch sport, participate in it and have a chat that can ultimately lead to the benefit of an awful lot of people around the world. And that has to be a good thing.
Before I let you go, Minister, how about some background on you? Are you a golfer yourself? And did you grow up playing golf?
No, and I played it for a while, and I played it really badly. And, you know, there comes a point in your life where you realise that your handicap is your handicap. I have three small children, and I've been in politics. If I told my wife that I was going off for 4.5 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday morning, having been away all week, I think I'd probably get a fairly undiplomatic response. It's a game I love to watch on TV though, and my son is he's just 10, he's started to take it up now. He had his first summer camp this year in golf, so there's a convert, in one of the converts in my house anyway.
Golf seems to be very accessible in Ireland. A lot of young people play it and learn it at a very early age, so it's no wonder for a very small country there are so many really top championship players.
Well, it's one of the legacies that we want out of Adair is to democratise the sport and to leave a legacy for kids from disadvantaged areas that they have the opportunity to play in small courses that are either owned by the local cities or the local towns, to introduce them to them, because we don't want it to be seen as a sport that's in any way removed or aloof or anything like that. This is a sport that you can make huge headway both for yourself as an individual, but more importantly for your country and your continent, as the guys are doing today for Europe. So we want to democratise it even more, get more young boys and young girls involved in it, give them the opportunity in their own localities, in their own communities. And you're right, it's very accessible. Like, membership of golf clubs in Ireland has gone up substantially, Golf Ireland reporting good numbers, and a great intake of young people, and of course helped in no small way by Shane and Rory. And hopefully, look, if they bring home the goods this week, that'll make another injection of young people into it, because part of my role is not just about the promotion of a sport but also participation. And we know that at certain times in young girls' lives especially, there's a cliff edge and they fall off and they drop away from sport, and that then leads to health problems and things like that, you know, mental health and everything else. So we want to try and keep people fit, keep them active, keep them out in the air, and if golf is their thing, great. If cycling is their thing, brilliant. Or football, just to be active and just to get out.
The growth of golf is incredible with women and juniors. The challenge is retaining those numbers, and women are busy, they're multitasking, there's a lot of distractions for young people nowadays, right? So I think the challenge is to not only bring them in, but then to retain them in the sport of golf.
Yeah, keeping a person in a sport is a big thing. And then, look, social media and the pressures that young people are under now is totally different to when I was growing up. I mean, the online abuse that young people, especially young girls, are getting, in terms of peer pressure and everything like that, is very difficult. So some people find that change from adolescence into to being an adult extremely difficult, and it's totally different to when I was growing up. Like, if you were bullied at school when I was going to school, you left it after you at school. Now they're literally bringing it home, and it's inside in the bedroom with them at night. So sport is a great relief in terms of mental health problems and in terms of pressures and in terms of anxiety. And whatever your game is, I would encourage people to just get involved and take it up. I mean, not everybody is going to play in Betpage Black or in Adair, but they can at least enjoy it, and that's the most important thing.
Last question. What's been your favorite activity this week here in New York?
Well, would you believe that last night after arriving in the hotel, I frequented a local hostelry across the street from the hotel that I'm staying in. And the woman who is managing the bar grew up across the road from me in County Limerick. So I came 5,500 kilometres to meet somebody who was born and reared straight across the street from me in Newcastle West in County Limerick. So that was a bit of a weird one. But, what did they say? The Irish have only 2 degrees of separation. And I know her family growing up since I was a child, and I knew her late mum and dad and was able to talk to her about them. And I'd never met her. I had to come all the way from Limerick to meet my neighbour who grew up across the road from me, 6,000 odd kilometres. So that was, a takeaway moment from the last couple of days.
I'm so glad I asked that question. What a great story.
And she was so glad she asked it, because I said to her, you should know me. And she said, how should I know you? You should know me now. I said, because I'm from the same place as you. And she was looking at me, and when she was looking at my features, and oh my God, she says, you're John O'Donovan's son. Which I am. So, yeah. She's probably listening to this. And to all the shepherds in Newcastle West, a big hello to all of them. I hope they're doing well.
And of course, County Limerick is the county that where Adair Manor is, that is hosting.
It's the best county. There's 32 of them, and this is the best one. So, the way that you have your nicknames like the Empire State and the Golden State and the Sunshine State. Well, Limerick is the best. Yeah, so that's our byline, is the best county. So you'll know that when you come to Adair. Just ask somebody where's the best county. Oh, they'll say that's Limerick. We know exactly where that is.
And you have a right to be very proud of Limerick and that whole area. Thank you so much, Minister. I really enjoyed having you on Sports Interview, and have fun. I can't wait to get to Adair Manor.
And thanks very much, and we're looking forward to meeting you in Adair.
Thank you. My thanks to Ireland Minister Patrick O'Donovan, to Bill Byrne of Aer Lingus, and to the BBC for having me on during the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. Remember this age-old quote, our greatest glory is not in never falling, but in rising every time we fall. Have a great week, be kind, be safe, and I look forward to talking with you next time right here on Sports Interview with Anne McGorry.